Shabbos Parsha Inspiration, my favorite 30 minutes of the week to get us energized and ready for the holy, sacred Shabbos, Kodesh, Parshas Lech Lecha. Looking forward to learning together with all of you. And I just quickly want to thank our sponsor for this week. Our sponsor for this week is, as soon as it comes up on my calendar, our sponsor for this week is, of course now it doesn't, yes, it's generally sponsored by David Lidauer in honor of Sarah Newcomb in Carpe Diem Singles. So again, I want to thank you for your sponsorship. And again, sponsorships are welcome and available for anyone who is interested. Please be in touch with either me or the Shul office. Okay, today, as always, promise we have three ideas in 30 minutes. Get us ready for Shabbos. Give us some conversation for the Shabbos table, something to think about to make our Shabbos that much more meaningful and that much more special. So idea number one is a little bit more of a broad theme, that though it comes up in this week's Parsha, you'll notice its theme is going to weave its way through the next week's Parsha, and that's why I think it's extra meaningful. And that is Avram Avinu. If you had to describe Avram Avinu, and you had to wonder what makes Avram Avinu so great, I think most of us characterize him by a certain characteristic. And that is that we would say that Avram Avinu is defined by his attribute of chesed, his attribute of kindness. And what would we bring as a proof from that? Well, we would bring a proof of that, the notion, Vesa nefesh asher asu b'charan, that Avram Avinu was the ultimate chabadnik. He was the one who was going out and he was being makari people and he was converting people and he was bringing people closer to Judaism. When we envision Avram Avinu, we envision someone who was so selfless and given over to the tzibor. That was his midat hachesed. That was his characteristic, the attribute that he was known by. And says Rav Dessler, Rav Eliyahu Dessler, that while that is true, that Avram Avinu had one midah, he had one characteristic that he succeeded at above and beyond everything else, you know what really made Avram great? You know what upped his game even more? Well, it's very interesting, and I didn't notice this myself, but once I point it out to you, you're going to say to yourself, that's pretty amazing. And that is that while we generally associate Avram Avinu with this characteristic of chesed, of kindness, of generosity, of selflessness, if you think about it, almost every single one of Avram's tests forced him to do the exact opposite. And so says Rav Dessler, V'kimat kol nisyonosav shebo achar kach hayu b'chivon hagvura. Every single thing that Avram Avinu did was not about chesed, but it was the exact opposite. It was about gvura. Gvura means strength. Gvura means a certain pullback as opposed to giving over of yourself, right? That was defined by Yitzchak. So wait a second, Rina Moskowitz. If I thought that Avram Avinu is defined by the characteristic of chesed, why is it that everything that happens to Avram Avinu, every test that he has, is defined by gvura, is defined by this inner strength, which is really associated with Yitzchak Avinu? Says Rav Dessler, let me give you some examples. Lech Lecha, right at the beginning of the Parsha. Lech Lecha, Me'artzecha, Me'moladetcha. What does Avram Avinu have to do? He has to abandon his father. He has to abandon all of his townspeople. Does that sound like chesed? Does that fit the bill of who you would have assumed Avram Avinu was? No, I would have assumed Avram Avinu would have stayed where he was. He would have tried to be makari of everyone. He wouldn't have abandoned his father, smashed idols. That's not the midat chesed. No, says Rav Dessler, that's the entire point. What does he do right afterwards? Milchemes HaMalachim, the battle of the four kings versus the five kings. Avram goes to war. He defeats the largest military. Again, not exactly a storyline that you would associate with the Midas HaChesed. Bris Mila, what does Avram Avinu do when he gives himself, by introducing Bris Mila into the world? He differentiates himself from other people. He separates himself from other people. Again, the exact opposite of this notion of Esa Nefesh Asher Asu Becharan. Exact opposite of how we envision Avram Avinu as the person who's going out and proselytizing monotheism and Judaism to everybody. Those three stories that I just introduced you to, from our Parsha alone, Avram's doing the exact opposite. I'll give you another example. Rav Dessler doesn't quote it, but how about Lot? Right? Lot is one of the most enigmatic characters in all of Tanakh because I don't really think he serves a purpose. His only purpose there is really to serve a foil to Avram Avinu. You could extract the stories of Lot from our Parsha. You really wouldn't miss out on too much, except for the fact that it helps the development of who we understand Avram Avinu to be. What happens with Avram Avinu? Here you have his nephew, brings him along for the ride. So far, so good. And then Avraham Avinu very quickly realizes, Lo, not such a good influence. Not going to be such a good positive influence on me and my family. And so he basically says to Lo, this world isn't big enough for the two of us. You go one way, I'll go the other way, and let's just agree to separate. Not exactly what you would have associated as a midah, as a characteristic of someone who is characterized by an ish chesed, by the midat ha-chesed, by someone who is always proselytizing and sharing and spreading the word of monotheism. All of these things are really Avram leaving. He leaves his father. He leaves the rest of the people by giving him by introducing the notion of bris milah and thereby separating himself from everybody else. He separates himself from Lot. He goes to battle against all these people. Asked Rav Dessler, what's the point of all this? Every story in our parsha is antithetical to what we assume or what we were taught in second grade that was the nature of Avraham Avinu. Says Rav Dessler the following idea. He says, "Aval dafka al yedei nigud ze ve'avoda hakrucha bo hitorer lahakir et elokuso yisparach ba'ofen harbe yoser ne'ela." It was dafka through challenging himself by stepping out of his comfort zone and doing things just a little bit different to his nature. That is what takes Avraham Avinu to the next level. That is what elevates him in his relationship with Hashem. And so while says Rav Dessler, yes, it's really important to be good at one thing. We should all have one midah, one attribute that we excel at better than anything else. Right? And we all know that there's books out there that talk about focus on your strengths. Find what you're good at, double down on it, and make that your thing. Says Rav Dessler that while that's true, that was clearly what Avraham Avinu was. But what took him to the next level was that he was willing to challenge himself, was that he was willing to step out of his comfort zone and to do things that didn't come naturally to him. And that's what ultimately led to his growth. Think about it in your own personal lives. We each have things that we're really good at. We have natural inclinations. We have things that we are predisposed to. But we also know that some of our greatest moments of growth, some of our greatest moments of self-exploration comes specifically when we do something that's against our nature. Specifically when we push ourselves out of that comfort zone. Specifically when we do things that are challenging for ourselves. And so just to give it a religious context, right? Sometimes you have people that fall into a comfort zone of religious experience. I'm good at this, so that's what I'm going to stick to. I'm not good at that, so I'm going to shy away from that. Avraham Avinu teaches us that while it's definitely okay and it's amazing to have one thing that you're good at, but if you only do the things that you're good at, are you a servant of Hashem? Not really. You're really a servant to your nature, right? You're simply doing what's natural to you. By doing things that are a little bit difficult to you, and you do it nonetheless, you're showing Hashem, I'm doing it because it was a request from you. I'm doing it because it was a mitzvah from you. I'm learning Gemara, even though I don't have a proclivity for Gemara, but I'm doing it anyways because I know that's part of my responsibility to you, Hashem. I might be a guy who's gravitating to chesed, but I'm going to focus a little bit more on learning, Hashem, because I know that's part of my responsibility to you. I might be the guy who gives tzedakah. Don't bother me about everything else, the ritual, the detail. No, specifically, sometimes by pushing us a little bit, we show that we're not just doing it because it's natural for us, but because we're doing it because we recognize it's part of the corpus of our obligations to Hashem. And so idea number one comes from Rav Dessler, really viewing the totality of our parsha and understanding that what made Avraham Avinu so great was not just that he did what came naturally to him, but that he was willing to push himself out of his comfort zone. That he was willing to challenge himself. He was willing to do things that were a little bit difficult for him, that didn't come as naturally to him, but he did it anyways. And when he did that, that's what broke him free. That's what allowed him to accomplish and achieve great heights. It also taps into one of the great attributes of Avraham Avinu, which was what we would call in modern parlance, his growth mindset. Right? Avraham Avinu didn't say, this is who I am, this is what I'm good at, don't bother me, I no longer need to grow. Right? If there's one characteristic that defines Avraham Avinu, it's that at every step of the way, every story we're introduced to, Avraham is willing to grow through that experience by pushing himself and by not being afraid to challenge himself. He is modeling for every single one of us what we commonly refer to nowadays as a growth mindset. that he's not afraid of new things. He's not afraid to challenge himself. He's not afraid of his comfort zone. He wasn't afraid of failure, so long as it contributed to his ultimate growth. That is, I think, a beautiful idea. I think an idea that has enormous relevance to every single one of us. But it's this idea of be willing to challenge yourself. Try new things. Push yourself out of the comfort zone. Don't just always do what comes naturally for you. And you will see that great things are in store if you try those types of things. Idea number two comes from the beginning of this week's parsha. Lech lecha, me'artzecha, umimoladetecha, ela aretz, asher areka. Hashem says, I want you to leave your land, and I want you to go to the land, asher areka, that I am going to show you. Worst kept secret in the Torah. Where is Avram going? Where is Avram going? Even Rina Moskowitz on this Zoom knows this. Where is Avram going? He's going to Eretz Yisrael. Right? Why didn't Hashem just tell us the secret? Spoiler alert, Avram Avinu is going to Eretz Yisrael. No, it says, Ela Aretz Asher Areka. He goes, start off on the journey, and I'm gonna show you where the destination is in a little bit. Now, if you think that's a weird statement, a word formulation of it, then you'll be even more surprised to know that the word Yerushalayim does not appear in the Torah whatsoever, ever. It appears in Tanakh, it appears in Nach, I should say, but not once is the word Yerushalayim appearing in the Torah. So even when you go to Parshas Re'eh, and again we talk about El HaMakom, go to the place, and it uses El HaMakom, El HaMakom, El HaMakom over and over again. Once again, you're left wondering, Hashem, my friend, stop keeping the worst secret in all of the world. We all know where you're supposed to go. We all know where you're supposed to bring korbanos. We all know where Avram Avinu is trying to go. It was El HaAretz Asher Areka. It's to the land of Israel. Why didn't you say so? Why don't you just say you're going to Yerushalayim? So we are not the first people to ask this question. Many of the Meforshim, classic Meforshim, have been bothered by this. The Rambam, in his Mor Nevuchim, was bothered by this as well. The Rambam over there offers three interpretations. Number one is he says that if we spoil the secret, you know what's going to happen? If everyone knows that Yerushalayim is so meaningful to us, then our enemies are going to come and they're going to try to conquer Yerushalayim. Well, as Sam Abramowitz knows, because he read the book, Jerusalem, by, I'm blanking on his name right now, right? But there's a 9,000 page book. We had to split it up over 15 months to get through it. But it's called Jerusalem. And it's a book about the conquest of Yerushalayim, of everyone throughout history who tried to conquer Yerushalayim, right? So thank you, Rambam, for telling me the reason why the Torah doesn't mention Yerushalayim is that let's keep it a secret. The Jews like Yerushalayim. Spoiler alert, they've always known it. And for some reason, even though it was never a really important part of the world, they've always tried to conquer it. And so the Rambam goes to a second reason. He says maybe the reason why we keep Yerushalayim a secret is because not only will the enemies try to conquer it, but they'll try to destroy it. Failure alert, failure alert. That happened as well throughout history, right? The enemies knew that because Yerushalayim, Sabag, that because we knew how valuable Yerushalayim was to us, that was always the epicenter of their enmity towards us. That's what they came and tried to destroy. So the Rambam goes to his third reason. And he says, you want to know why the Torah keeps Yerushalayim a secret? Because if we knew how valuable Yerushalayim was, then all of the Shvatim, all of the 12 tribes, would want Yerushalayim in their allotment, and they would come to fight over Yerushalayim. Fighting over Yerushalayim? Arguing within the Jewish people over allotments of land? And no, that never happened to the Jewish people either. I'm obviously poking a little fun, but that was the Rambam, and I do so with respect, but those are the Rambam's three reasons for why the Torah kept Yerushalayim a secret. Rabbi Soloveitchik has his different interpretation. Says Rabbi Soloveitchik, you want to know why the Torah doesn't tell us where Yerushalayim was? That was one of Avram Avinu's tests. Avram Avinu's test was when he gets to Yerushalayim, will he know he's there? Will Avram Avinu have that sixth sense of Judaism that says, do I recognize holiness when I experience it? Right? When I come into Shabbos, do I recognize Shabbos in time is fundamentally different than Friday morning in time, which is different than Tuesday morning in time? Right? As a Jew, we are expected to understand and almost intuit differences in time between Shabbos and weekday, between Yontif and weekday. But says Rabbi Soloveitchik, we're not only meant to do it in time, we're meant to do it in space also. When you and I come into a sacred space, do we feel like we're in somewhere different? Do I feel like a shul is different than my living room? Do I fundamentally feel different when I come into that space? Says Rabbi Soloveitchik, that was the test of Avram. Hashem says, I'm not going to tell you where the holiness is. I want you to feel it when you get there. I want you to be able to anticipate and understand that when you stand in Yerushalayim, you feel like a different person. Not because I told you, but because you understood that. That was Rabbi Soloveitchik's idea. The idea I want to share with you, and I think it's the most obvious, but also the most, in my mind, the most powerful, is why doesn't Hashem anywhere in the Torah tell us that Yerushalayim is the destination? Because in Judaism, what we care about is the journey and not about the destination. Hashem is telling Avram, Lech Lecha, go out on a journey. Me'artzecha, mimoladetecha, ela aretz asherecha. And I'm not even telling you what the destination is, because the destination isn't what's important to me right now. The journey is what's important to me. What matters to me is you going through those ups and downs. It's you going through the adversity that you are going to encounter alongside your journey. And so while so much of our society is defined by the result, is defined by the destination, Judaism is fundamentally different. We don't buy into all or nothing mindset, but we subscribe fundamentally to that the growth happens not when you get to the destination, but the growth happens in the journey itself. Think about the bracha that we make every single morning. We have an obligation to learn Torah every day. And when we make a bracha on learning Torah, the bracha that we say is, La'asok b'divrei Torah. That my obligation, Hashem, is not to master all of Torah. It doesn't say that I have to memorize all of Torah. What is the bracha? What is my obligation in learning Torah? My obligation is La'asok b'divrei Torah, which means I have to toil in Torah. I have to work hard in Torah. I have to go through the journey of learning Torah. Now, whether or not I remember 100%, 90%, 50%, 10%, whether or not I'm able to learn Shas like Rav Schechter of Usher Weiss, or maybe for me, it's learning Parsha with Shnayim Mikra, right, with learning it twice in the Torah and once with Rashi, right? Whatever it is, my obligation is just to put in my effort to Torah. Why? Because it's the journey, not the destination. We reference in idea number one, Carol Dweck's mindset. That applies equally here as well, right? The whole notion, the whole premise of a growth mindset is saying that it's not just about what the destination is. It's not just about what the goal is, but it's about enjoying the journey that it takes to get there. You see, her example in the book is about students in school. If students in school, the sole end game is the grade you get on the test, which in our analogy is basically getting to Yerushalayim, that's the destination. If that's my sole goal, then I'm going to get there however I can. Even if it means cutting corners, I'm not necessarily even going to enjoy the process of getting there because all I care about is getting a good grade. And whether that means cheating, whether that means taking easy classes, whether it means taking the easy way out, I'm going to do it because why? All that matters is the destination. Carol Dweck submits a thesis that says that no, you're doing a disservice to children when you do that because it's not about the destination. It's about the journey that a child goes through to get there. It's about opening their eyes to a love of learning and a thrill of learning and discovery. That is why the Torah never mentions the name Yerushalayim, to showcase for us that what's important is not the destination, that what's important for us is the thrill of the journey that it takes to get there. And that even though there might be ups and downs on those journeys, even though there might encounter adversity on that journey, it's the journey itself where we find the most amounts of opportunity for growth. And so idea number one was the idea of Rav Dessler, which was to challenge yourself, to push yourself a little bit out of your comfort zone, to try new things, even though they might be a little bit difficult for you or not as natural for you. It might not come as innately to you, just like Avram Avinu, who is defined by the characteristic of chesed. All of his tests were the exact opposite of his inclinations, the exact opposite of what came natural to him, and that's what propelled him to higher heights of growth. Idea number two is, why isn't Yerushalayim mentioned in the Torah? And while different commentaries offer their suggestions, to me, the most obvious is because the Torah wants to highlight for us the journey, not the destination. Rabbi Yitzchak Kuttner, in a very famous letter, articulates this was the problem with Gedolim stories. The problem with stories about great rabbis or great individuals is that they sanitize the history of what it took for them to become great individuals. Right? So when you read a book that says, you know, the Vilna Gaon knew Kol HaTorah Kula by 3 years old, so you and I read that and we're like, ah, not applicable to me, I can't do that. Right? But what we fail to reference in those Gedolim stories is how much effort they put in to become the people that they are. The example he gives there, he says, we talk with the Chafetz Chaim. The Chafetz Chaim never spoke Lashon Hara. He says, but you know what we don't talk about? How many times the Chafetz Chaim failed until he got to that point. Right? We don't talk about the journey that it took for the Chafetz Chaim before he reached the destination. All we care about is the destination. I want to be like the Chafetz Chaim. No, it's not about the destination of who I want to become. It's about the journey that I'm willing to go on to get there. That was idea, beautiful idea number two. Idea number three I saw this morning, and it's from the Shla HaKadosh. Shla HaKadosh, or Yeshaya Horowitz, says the following. It's a beautiful reading of a pasuk. Pasuk, when it comes to Lot, is that Avram and Lot are not getting along right now. And their shepherds are fighting with one another, and it's very clear that this town ain't big enough for the two of us. And so Avram looks at Lot, and you have to listen to the language, because it's a specific to the language. The pasuk says, Vayhi Riv, Bein Roe Mikne Avram Uve Roe Mikne Lot. That there was a Riv. Riv means what? That there was a fight between, or an argument, between the shepherds of Avram and the shepherds of Lot. ... Vayomer Avram El Lot, Al Na Tehi Miriva Beini Uveinecha. Avram goes to Lot and says, don't let there be a Miriva between me and you. Says the Shla HaKadosh, something that I myself never would have noticed. Why is it that in the first pasuk it refers to it as a Riv, in the masculine, and in the second pasuk, when Avram is talking to Lot, it refers to it as a miriva, in the feminine. Not sure that's something that I would have noticed in the pasuk, but that's what makes him the Shla HaKadosh and me Philip Moskowitz. Says the Shla HaKadosh, a beautiful idea. A beautiful idea, and unfortunately something that's so tragically true. He's saying, what were he and Lot arguing about? The issue was that there was machlokes. The issue was that there was an argument between the two of them, that there was a disagreement, that they weren't getting along. Says the Shla HaKadosh that what Avram Avinu was warning Lot about, Shemehariv Lot Tetse Miriva, that from our Riv, from our fight, does not become a Miriva in the mask, in the feminine. Right? Miriva in the feminine, he says, Bechinas Aim, it's like a mother, Hamolida, that gives birth. And so says the Shla HaKadosh, what Avram is telling Lot, so magnificent. Al na tihi miriva beini uveinecha. Don't let our little argument, our riv in the masculine, become a miriva in the feminine. Don't let our little fight give birth to something much bigger than it needs to be. I remember growing up, I'm sure you had this also, we had a phrase in our family, right? Don't let a molehill become a mountain, right? Which was a nice way of saying, don't let something small explode into something far bigger. That, says the Shla HaKadosh, a beautiful insight, is what Avram Avinu was worried about here. Vayhi Riv Bein Roei Mikne Avram Uvei Roei Mikne Lot. There was a small fight. There was a small disagreement. They weren't getting along so well. Avram Avinu goes to Lot and says, you know what? It's better that we separate. Why? Al Na Tehi Miriva. Don't allow it to become in the feminine. In other words, don't let it give birth to something much bigger than it needs to be. It's better that we separate right now. The reason why I love that idea so much is because tragically I see it all the time. Tragically you see all the time that people who've been fighting for 1 year, 2 years, sometimes even 20 or 30 years, and you ask them sometimes, why haven't you spoken to a sibling in that long? Why is it that you haven't spoken to your child or your parent or your right? Why is it? And they'll say, oh, 20 years ago, the worst thing happened. You say, what happened? And they'll describe like a small incident. And what happens is that small incident serves like a seed. And if it's watered properly with enough animosity and enmity and fighting and backstabbing and hurtful words, so that seed continues to grow and to grow and to grow until it becomes an enormous tree of hatred in people, family members, loved ones who haven't spoken in 10, 20, 30 years, all because that one little seed of animosity or machlokes or infighting was planted in the ground. And so Avram Avinu warns us that whatever it is, whatever machlokes, whatever dispute you have, solve it quickly. Right? Avram Avinu sees where this is going and he says, you know what, Lot, it's better that we just separate. Can you imagine how difficult that must have been for Avram Avinu to separate from his nephew, to tell Lot, who'd been along with him on this journey, you know what, this town ain't big enough for the two of us. I'm not a psychologist, but I would imagine that would have been very hard for Avram Avinu. But Avram does it, says Lishla, not to be bad to Lot, but to be good for Lot. He's basically saying, I don't want to fight with you. I don't want this to become bigger than what it needs to be. And so I'm willing to be mevater. I'm willing to give up a little bit. Let's separate. Al na tehi meriva. Don't let this become something bigger than it needs to be. I think that's a beautiful insight into the pasuk. More importantly, though, I think it's a very important lesson for all of us to not let small things become big things, right? To not let small fights, small arguments, hurtful words, to not let that explode into something far bigger where chas v'shalom people go years and years and years without speaking. And so we saw three ideas in 30 minutes this morning, as promised, to get us ready for the Parsha. Idea number one is the idea by Rav Dessler, this notion of push yourself, to challenge yourself, that despite Avram was defined by his characteristic of chesed, Avram Avinu's real growth happened when he did the exact opposite from it, when he pushed himself just a little bit harder. And the message of that is that we should be willing to step out of our comfort zone, and that for us too, that's where the real growth can happen. Idea number two was the idea from, it was kind of my idea, but this idea that why isn't Yerushalayim mentioned in the Torah? The Yerushalayim is not mentioned in the Torah because Judaism wants to focus us on the journey, not on the destination. Hashem says, Lech Lecha, go out on the journey. Ela Arz Asherecha, don't worry about where you're going. I'll worry about that with you later. But what's important to me is that you're willing to go through the journey, the ups and the downs, the adversity, the hardship along the way, the good, the bad, and the ugly, because it's in the journey where you find growth. It's in the journey where you find the thrill of discovery and where you learn enormous things about yourself. That was idea number two. And lastly, idea number three, this beautiful idea from the Shlach HaKadosh, Vayihi Riv, that there was a fight. And then Avram says, Al Nati Miriva, in the feminine, don't let it become even a bigger fight. Says the Shlach, because that's what oftentimes happens. That a riv, one little fight, becomes a miriva in the feminine, which means it gives birth to many, many more fights. And that's what Avram was trying to do. She min hakatan, that from this small thing, lo tifrots machlokes gedola, that it doesn't become an even bigger machlokes, something that you and I need to be very careful about, something that we have to be wary of when it comes certainly to our loved ones, family members, to children, to parents, to friends, to neighbors, that whatever it is, in the grand scheme of life, it's probably not going to matter. And so don't allow it to tailspin into something far bigger than it needs to be. And with that, I want to wish everyone a beautiful, meaningful, and sacred Shabbos. And I look forward to continue to learn.